Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, looking back on a historic performance in Boston.
So Boston is without a doubt, definitely the highlight of the year, and, you know, could be the highlight of my career, for all I know.
Chasing down the 6 World Marathon Majors.
Now I'm at the point where I only have 2 left, so I'm really chasing those 2 down. London and Tokyo are left on the list.
And new guidelines about running while pregnant.
Moderate intensity exercise is just fine. In fact, very beneficial for both mom and baby.
On this edition of iRun Radio, we'll be joined by elite Canadian runner Krista Duchesne, who's looking back on a fantastic year, including a podium finish in the Boston Marathon. Also, new tips on running while you were pregnant. And a woman who actually ran the day before she gave birth is chasing a new goal, completing the 6 World Marathon Majors. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, who's with me every week on iRun Radio, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
How are you?
Oh, I cannot complain. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and we're counting down to the holidays, just over a week to go until everybody's kind of off and running on Christmas Day and Boxing Day. I always try to get a run in on at least one of those days, if not both. It's the streets are quiet, you know, it's a fun time to run. And I know everybody is also looking back on their year now, and I read a terrific piece you wrote, and you shared at iRun.ca on all the different races that you did this year. You did so many, I think 12, right?
That's right. But I just wonder if we could backtrack one iota. One of the things I like to do during Boxing Day and on Christmas and things, I really make an effort to get a run in. I think you like to get a run in, not only because the streets are quiet, but also because my house is noisy. And I find that if I don't... I will go to my mother-in-law's house and bring a bag for the kids and also bring a bag for myself. And when it's like, do you really need to run right now? And it's like, yeah, I really do. So I find, just for anybody listening, like, you know, you can tell people that. And it's like, what are you training for? I don't know what I'm training for or whatever. I just know I need 35 minutes out of the house and you'll like me more for me having getting this run in.
Yeah. And then you get to eat whatever you want after that. Right?
There you go.
Isn't that how it works?
There you go. As opposed to fuming in the corner or drinking too much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's a great time to be a runner on the holidays.
Yeah, you should be giving out holiday advice for coping with the family and all of that. Yeah.
But yes, and thank you. And the races year in review, I wrote something up on our site, and I raced an awful lot, and I would encourage all of the runners and listeners to write down their own races and just tell us, share with us, you know, your experiences and what you raced and how it felt and what it was like. And, you know, when you put it down on paper, I mean, I'm a real list maker anyway. I like doing that, but it's fun because when I looked at my races, I sort of had a good way of like looking at my year, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's important to look back. I wrote this one time about how when you're running, it's always best to be looking forward so you don't bump into something. But every once in a while, you got to look back and you have to acknowledge how far you've come. It's easy to forget all the progress you've made, right, in life and in running. You got to look back once in a while and say, you know what, 2 years ago or a year ago, here's where I was and now I'm here. And you got to take stock and appreciate that.
Yeah, things move so quick, I know, and it's a really nice exercise, and I implore anyone to do it. And here, and if you don't want to do it, you do it for someone else, you know, do it for the other readers who say, like, huh, I wonder what, you know, Michelle ran this year, and she said, oh, I ran Ottawa, and at 20K, I started to get really tired, but then there was somebody clapping for me, and it sped me along. You know, there's little tips, and people like hearing other people's stories, and they share their own stories. So if you won't do it for yourself, do it for everybody.
Absolutely.
Else.
Yeah, because people love hearing other runners' stories about other races, and this is the time when people are thinking, okay, what am I going to run in 2019? So I need ideas.
Yes.
Send me ideas, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And it gets people excited, you know, and it's fun because right around now, too, when it starts getting cold and you start thinking, you know, about having a second plate of turkey, but it's like, oh, yeah, maybe I will do this race in February. Oh, wow, this is coming up in April. So, you know, you start getting your calendar together, and I think it's a worthwhile exercise.
Yeah. All right. So you look back on your year, and you did Boston, of course. I mean, I will always remember the kilometer we ran together in the Boston Marathon. That was so special. For those people who don't remember, Ben and I were supposed to run the Boston Marathon together, but you took off about a kilometer into the race, and I never saw you again until the finish line. But that's fine. So you had Boston, you had New York City, of course, your hometown race that you were running for the first time in your life. So that's pretty cool. You had some other great events as well.
Yeah, and racing is just, I mean, that charming anecdote that you like to bring up is funny for a lot of ways because you never know. I mean, the race that I tried to go my fastest, I dropped out of, and the race that I didn't care about my time the most was my quickest. I mean, you never know. And in Boston, when I was, it's almost like, it's weird because it's like we control these things and we wear a watch and we write our split times on our hand and there's a strategy in the whole nine yards. And then, like, I don't know, the gun goes off and then just like the spirits take over. I don't know what could say why Boston. I mean, during those conditions in the rain and the, I don't know, it was sleet or snow or whatever, just torrential winds. And for whatever reason, I just felt ecstatic, you know? I just had the spirit. All I just remember is feeling like I was at Mardi Gras and, like, people were throwing beads at me, you know? I mean, but who can predict? You can't, which is, you know, which is, again, is, like, why we do it, you know? And it has nothing to do with the times. I mean, I put my times in my little thing just because I was kind of curious to check them out. But really, the experience has nothing to do with the times.
Absolutely. And look, if in terms of looking back on this year, I don't think anybody can look back and be prouder than Krista Duchesne, who finished third in the Boston Marathon this year. She's going to be on the show today. We're going to look back on 2018 for her and look ahead to the future and what she has in store. We're also going to talk to Janie Shepherd from the Runners Academy. We're going to talk to somebody who's trying to amass all of the six world marathon majors. She's four races into it, has two more to go. So we've got lots of great stories to share on the show today. Ben, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, my friend. Happy holidays.
Ben Kaplan is iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, new guidelines on running while you're pregnant. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Janie Shepherd is one of the owners of the Runners Academy in Toronto. She's very knowledgeable about many different aspects of running and fitness, and she recently wrote for iRun on running while you are pregnant. Janie, welcome to iRun Radio.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about the Runners Academy, and then we can talk more about women's running and pregnancy. But first, the Runners Academy. Tell us all about it.
Sure. So my husband and I founded the Runners Academy in 2014, and we are based in Toronto. We welcome runners of all levels, but we are very passionate about helping people pursue their goals with running, whether that be become faster, become a stronger runner, first even just learning how to run, and of course helping people along the bumpy road of overcoming running injuries. So we have chiropractic, physiotherapy, massage, as well as personal training, because we incorporate strength training into a large part of our curriculum for our runners.
Tell me more about that, because I have to admit, all I do is run. I don't do anything to support it, and I know I should, but I still don't. And I know a lot of runners who use strength training as a way of supporting their running, and it becomes increasingly important, as I understand it, as you get older.
It does, yeah. So we meet a lot of people like yourself that come through our doors who don't strength train. Now, a lot of them think it's boring and love to just put on their shoes and obviously get outside for a run. But it is very, very important in terms of maintaining muscle mass for runners, especially as we age, which we don't like to admit, but that does happen. So, you know, what we're really passionate about is helping people, you know, even with longevity in running. And so we want to see people running well into older age, and we definitely promote that. And as we're going to talk about as well in pregnancy, it's just so important to be maintaining muscle mass to help you with running. I mean, running is, you know, your muscles are propelling you over the ground, so they're pretty important.
Yeah, no question. All right, let's talk about women and pregnancy and running. I know that there has been a lot of debate about this over the years, but there is, I know from talking to people, there is no evidence to suggest there's anything wrong with running while you were pregnant. And I think some people just assume that it might be dangerous to the baby or dangerous to the woman or something like that. But there's really nothing wrong with it, right?
It's safe to say that there's not a lot of evidence saying that there's risk involved with this, but it's always best to look at it on a case by case basis, of course. So I'm going to speak fairly generally, but they have come out with some new guidelines in Canada for exercise and pregnancy, which is very exciting, just a few months ago, where they are definitely promoting exercise and pregnancy. They don't get super specific with running, but they do suggest that moderate intensity exercise is just fine. In fact, very beneficial for both mom and baby in terms of reducing things like gestational diabetes, birth issues with larger babies, blood pressure, reducing blood pressure. We don't want high blood pressure when we're pregnant. And let's be honest, for a lot of runners, mental health kind of plays into that a lot. So stress reduction in life and just getting out to do something that's, if it's your favorite sport, then we don't like to take things away from pregnant moms. What we're looking at when we talk about running during pregnancy is just that, of course, hopefully you're having an uncomplicated pregnancy. And really, you want to base it on comfort. A lot of moms think that, or a lot of expectant mothers, think that they may be running during pregnancy and end up being quite uncomfortable or not being able to really feel that fitness that they're hoping for, and maybe resort to something different in terms of workouts, and that's okay too. So we do like to stress that, but they have not found that it is dangerous for a growing baby. Again, as long as it's an uncomplicated pregnancy, so that's exciting. And there's a lot of debate about it, like you said. But when it comes down to it, exercising during pregnancy, and just underlining the word exercising, is very healthy.
What do people need to know about it, though? What do expectant mothers need to know about running while they are pregnant?
During the first trimester, often people will have an elevated resting heart rate. So women who, are just recreational joggers for fitness, or maybe some age group racers, just you're going to ease back a little bit on the tempos and on your speed in the first trimester, and really, like I said, go by feel and really understanding how you're feeling during your run and after, just monitoring that. But because of that natural increase in resting heart rate, because of increased blood volume while you're growing this beautiful baby in the first trimester, you really feel that. So people who are actually trying to maintain training will have to maybe change their heart rate zones to compensate for that. And staying very, very hydrated is very important. You want to maintain lots of fluid in the body, like I said, for that increase in blood volume for baby, and just making sure baby's nice and bathed in water and whatnot. In the second trimester, most women feel a lot more energy come back, and that's, a lot of women, but some do not. And so that's still probably an uncomplicated pregnancy. Everyone's different, but this is where you're just going to have to, do you feel good enough to run? Then go ahead and fortunately, a lot of women do enjoy increased energy levels in the second trimester, and they actually have some pretty good runs, which is nice. Then once you hit the third trimester, though, it depends. Some women gain a lot of weight, and then we just want to evaluate, like, how much weight am I forcing through my joints now? And one thing that's really, really popular right now is looking at how much pressure are we forcing down on our pelvic floors, because we have them, everyone has one, whether you're pregnant or not, whether you're male or female, but we just want to say, you know, how much do we weigh now and how much does baby weigh, and then just considering that impact while running on your own muscles. So really we are looking at just the mom there, and just being careful with how we treat our bodies, so that in my opinion, the more important thing would be returning to running afterwards, and so making that as easy as possible for the mom. So just those are the considerations we sort of get people to look at.
Now, have you been through this yourself? Do you have kids?
I do, yes. I have two kids, two boys, and I have been through this, yes. Running a business and having the first child did make running a little hard to get out to do with my second pregnancy. Unfortunately, with my first pregnancy, I did have a small complication that did resolve itself, but throughout the time that I was not allowed to run, said my doctor, I did, that was 6 to 8 weeks, and so the weight I gained in those 6 to 8 weeks, and then having not run, it didn't really feel great to get back out there, unfortunately. So for me, that was just sticking with some swimming, stationary bike, you know, cycle, spin, and strength training. So I was pretty happy with that anyway.
Yeah, and I think the point that that raises is it's different for everyone, and you've got to respond to whatever the situation is, right?
Well, exactly. And as much as, you know, and we deal with this day in, day out, we know that runners love running. we're not trying to take that away from people, but we really just want people to self-reflect a little bit more, or women, when they are expecting, and just, you know, one thing would be to maybe, you know, really be mindful of how you're feeling and what you want your health outcomes to be in the end, and for the best recovery, because, you know, sometimes what we see in the media and on Instagram isn't always what we should be doing.
Sure.
So that's a big thing, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you about one more thing before we let you go. I was looking at your website for the Runners Academy, and you have something there that you describe called an anti-gravity treadmill. Can you tell us about that? It looks very
so
cool.
It is cool. The anti-gravity treadmill, or sometimes it's called the Ultra G, was actually has components in it, designed by NASA. And what that does is it inflates with air. Basically, you're strapped in from the waist down, you're zipped in, and that inflates with air, and basically you can start to reduce body weight on there and run at the same time. And so thank you for bringing that up, because we do advocate that women think about using that during pregnancy as well as afterwards to get back into running. So yeah, just as I said, it lightens the load on your body weight and on your joints. So it is a great tool for women to keep running while pregnant. We've had a few pregnant women on there, and as well as there's some big runners out there. Paula Radcliffe is somebody who used it during pregnancy to continue her training, and some other runners as well. And so we do have that. And then another program that we do have as well that we try and advocate women at least get checked out with is called our Building Better Runners program, where we really take a look at your technique. And that's something that will also help with getting back into running, you know, post recovery from postpartum,
right,
to make sure that you're really not loading the wrong areas of your body. So it's another sort of useful tool that we promote for pregnant and postpartum runners.
Yeah. And I guess the anti-gravity treadmill is also useful if you're a runner recovering from an injury, because it reduces the load on your legs if you've got an injury and you're working your way back, right?
It does, yeah. We have a lot of people getting back into running, maybe post-stress fracture,
right,
which we do see in running, unfortunately, you know, and then your maybe basic ankle fractures, sprains and strains in your lower body, for sure, yeah. And we do get people to just practice, you know, the techniques that we show them on there, because you can just sort of really pay attention to your stride by, you know, taking some weight off and not having to pay attention so much to the load that you're putting on, but just, yeah.
All right. Well, Janie, it's great to talk to you and great to hear your insight into this very important issue of running while pregnant, something that a lot of women have grappled with. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks so much.
That's Janie Shepherd, co-owner of the Runners Academy in Toronto. Coming up next, Krista Duchesne. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa, and you can also listen to the podcast and check out past editions of the show at irun.ca. Just click on radio. It's great to welcome back to iRun Radio Canadian Olympian, elite marathoner, and running mom, Krista Duchesne. Krista, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
So obviously, when you look back on 2018, I'm going to take a huge guess here and say one of the highlights, if not the highlight of the year for you, was Boston, where you finished third. So is that the case?
Yes, definitely. When I was thinking about having this conversation and looking back at the year, I was going to, you know, review my blogs and that kind of thing. And I thought, well, the things I remember are probably the most significant. So Boston is yeah, without a doubt, definitely the highlight of the year. And, you know, could be the highlight of my career, for all I know.
Well, and that wouldn't be such a bad thing. So when you look back on that, now some time has passed. It's been 6 or 7 months since that crazy day in Boston where the weather was not cooperative, but maybe it was the right conditions for a Canadian to get to the podium. What are some of your lasting memories and enduring thoughts from that day?
I think I just enjoyed the experience even before I got there in the training. And, you know, even thinking about going and getting ready for the next marathon is exciting. So I think I look back and I know that that's the funnest experience I've had training for any marathon. I wasn't focused on my watch and times. I was focused on being strong in the hills and using the Around the Bay race to prepare for Boston. So it really just came together perfectly, especially with the way Dave had my workouts planned. And, you know, it was fun and rewarding, and you often don't get the two things at the same time.
Yeah. And I get the sense that you're in a different headspace now with regard to your competitions and your long-term goals and that kind of thing, that since you've had these Olympic experiences, that your outlook is a little bit different. Is that the case?
Yes, I think that, you know, probably anyone that makes it to the Olympics knows that that's a pretty significant life event. And whether it happens or not again, I'll give it a shot to go for the next Olympics in Tokyo, but I'm not going to chase that standard, you know, marathon after marathon. If it happens, great, I'll be thrilled. But I know that Canadian distance running is really strong for women. So if three women go and I'm not one, that means that, you know, we filled the three spots, and that would be amazing. But, you know, with the kids getting older, I'm coaching my daughter's hockey team. After the Olympics, it was about taking risk again and, you know, going skiing with my kids, even though I might get injured, and taking risks so that I don't look back and think, oh, I wish I did more with my family.
Yeah, and I think that's a great way of putting it, because there are so many things that you have to subordinate to your running when you are singular in your purpose and you've got this one goal, right? And I think even amateur runners can relate to it on a certain level. In fact, Ben Kaplan and I were chatting recently about how when he was training for a particular marathon, he didn't go skiing because he was worried about getting injured. Now he's not so worried about that. So even the amateur runner who's trying to do a PB in a particular race might, their diet, some other things might become big priorities for them. And it's kind of that multiplied by a factor of 10 if you are an elite athlete training for a goal like making the Olympics.
Right. I think that we can all relate to each other in terms of we know what we invest when it comes to a marathon. You know, we're out there grinding a lot of kilometers and going to bed early, but yet I think we can all admit that we love that. We love kind of being, you know, nerdy with our numbers and, you know, thinking before we go to bed, oh, how many kilometers am I going to run tomorrow, and going to bed early so that you can get up early. We kind of have that special bond. So, yeah, it's kind of neat to look at it in that sense.
Yeah, and it's a sense of purpose too, isn't it, when you're training for something like that?
For sure, you invest a lot in it. And, you know, when I take a look at this year financially, this was a great year for me. And it's rewarding in the sense that I can actually say that, you know, I made a decent income this year with how things worked out, but that was a long time in the making. You know, my first marathon was 16 years ago, and, you know, I decreased my hours as a dietitian. We had our three kids, and, you know, finally it kind of paid off. Yet I'm also realistic to know that, you know, I likely will never make, you know, the amount of money I did this year. But the process and setting the goals, that's something that we all share, and that's something that I will continue to enjoy no matter what those goals are.
Yeah, and it sounds like you've just shifted the balance a little bit where there's going to be a little bit more life and a little bit less of prioritizing running ahead of life in some cases, where you can take some risks, you can ski, you can prioritize your schedule a little bit differently, and not everything has to come second to running, right?
Right, and it's about combining family events with my training. So it's exciting to know that I can continue to do those things with my family, and everyone wins, right? So before, running was one of the top priorities, but now that I'm, you know, coaching my daughter's hockey team, and if she has a Saturday morning hockey game, then I know my long run's going to have to be done on another day or at another time. And that's, you know, that still works out well. And I have to take a look at the whole week in terms of, okay, what can I handle, you know, for energy? And I still do things like, I don't do everything in one day, a long run, cleaning, groceries, laundry. I still have to pace myself like anyone else would through those things.
Now, you mentioned Canadian long distance running and the state of the sport today at the elite level. Obviously, it's in a different place from where it was 10 years ago or 15 years ago. We are expecting regularly now to send marathon runners to the Olympics is one example, where we had a bit of a hiatus from doing that for some time. How would you describe where the sport is at today?
You know, it's really exciting, and I must say that I'm at a pretty sweet spot. You know, we've talked about how my focus has shifted, and if I, you know, go for the standard and it works, great. But how exciting in that, you know, when Lanny and I both made it to Rio, that was the first time that Canada had sent a woman and two to the Olympics in 20 years. So there weren't many people for us to look up to that we were competing against. And now, you know, here I will be competing against people that, you know, I guess looked up to Lanny and I, and that we kind of broke that drought and, you know, represented Canada. And, you know, I just tweeted the other day and put on social media with the new standards being out for the World Championships that one man, Cameron Levins, and six women so far have the standard to run at the World Championships in Doha in 2019. And that's just incredible. So it's an honor. It's exciting. And, you know, it's great for women in sport. I think now that I'm coaching my daughter's team, it's about character development. Obviously, they need to learn the game of hockey, but like being a role model for them, because we know that girls can drop out of sports sooner than boys. And when they look at, you know, distance running in Canada for women, how it's grown, that's, you know, I hope and I think it's inspiring and exciting for moms and for young girls and, you know, everyone in between.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think you raise a great point that for a lot of kids and younger athletes, they need to see somebody else doing it to imagine it for themselves. And so we can only imagine now what a new generation of Canadians has been inspired, how big that new generation is of Canadians who have been inspired by you and Lanny Marchand and Reed Coolset and Eric Gillis and Dylan Weikes and the other Canadian Olympians. It really speaks to the prospect of there being a lot more younger runners out there because they've seen those moments on TV, right?
Right. It's really exciting. And, you know, the other thing, too, is balancing life outside of running and having other things that we do. I don't necessarily think it's a great idea for people to put, you know, all their eggs in one basket, so to speak, and just focus on, you know, being a professional athlete. That's great. But, you know, balancing a family, having a career, contributing to community work, those are all great things that can give you a focus outside of, you know, being a professional athlete.
All right. And as you look ahead to 2019, what are you thinking about? What are your goals? And have you started to figure out where you're going to run?
Well, I do know which spring marathon I'm doing. I can't yet say, but I think that everyone, well, I'll be pleased to go to this place, let's just say.
Okay, sounds good. We'll stay tuned on that.
Yes, yes. But as for 2019, I'm really looking forward to, it's what I'm calling my spring surprise. So basically after my spring marathon, I'll kind of do the typical local races that I do, the Robbie Burns 8K, I just did the Tannenbaum 10K, the Chili Half, and then around the Bay. But after my spring marathon, I'm basically giving it over to Dave Scott Thomas, my coach with Speed River, and saying, you tell me what to do. The qualification system for the 2020 Olympics is going to be different. So I think I'm excited that, you know, he will probably tell me what he thinks the best fall marathon will be. Or if I do world championships, I do have the standard, but I'm right now like sixth on the list. So three other people would have to say no, plus others could qualify. But I know I need to work on speed. You know, I'll be 42 in January, and I think I just have to kind of be a little bit more deliberate about putting a focus there. So he's got a great group of women that I can train with, Jen Lon, who just won National Cross, and then Rachel Hanna, who's in Guelph, and also with Speed River. So I'm excited to change things up in the spring and just kind of go into it open-minded and seeing what I can do.
And do you hear from some of the younger generation of runners, or not necessarily a younger generation, but even runners who are younger than you, about the fact that they are inspired to be part of the next group of runners making their way onto the world stage? Do you hear that kind of feedback from anyone from kids up to runners who are in their 20s and 30s?
Well, yes and no, I guess. I mean, I don't necessarily know all of the messages or comments that might be out there on social media, because that's kind of a full-time job keeping up with that.
Sure.
But let me say that when I went to Saskatchewan this year, I spoke at their event and promoted the race and did the 5K myself. There were two girls that I met, and I know that I was influential to them, and that was, you know, pretty big deal for me for them to meet me. And we went out for a meal with a group of runners, and that was pretty special. Just kind of knowing, you know, that yeah, they look up to me, even though, you know, I could be their mother probably, but yes, I think so, that there definitely are younger women, and, you know, they can look up to us and know that they could make something of this just like we have.
Well, Krista, it's always great to talk to you, and I congratulate you on a terrific 2018. That was such a great moment in Boston, and I wish you the best of luck as you prepare for 2019, and we look forward to hearing more about what your plans are. Thank you for being on the show today.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot, Mark.
That is Krista Duchesne. Coming up next, running the day before giving birth and chasing down the 6 World Marathon Majors. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Kelly Bowden has done some remarkable things as a runner, including qualifying for Boston and running all the way up to the day before she gave birth to her child. She is now pursuing the 6 World Marathon Majors. Kelly, welcome to iRun Radio.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
So how did you get into marathon running? How did this all begin for you?
Oh, well, I've been running, I guess, now for almost 10 years. Started with half marathon distance, and I guess that just wasn't enough for me, and decided 2009 to do my first full marathon. And I think any marathoner would say that once they cross the finish line of that first one, they get hooked. So that's what happened to me. I just got hooked and, you know, just had lots of goals and wanted to keep chasing down that PB every race I did. And then there was always that goal of Boston, which I ended up qualifying for in 2015. So I was able to run it the first time in 2016. And then fortunate enough, after I had my daughter in 2017, I re-qualified and was able to run it again this year in 2018.
Okay. On a miserable day. I was there. It was not a fun day for running a marathon, but
no,
we got through it, right?
Yeah. So we totally got through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a tricky day for all runners. And I had my sister by my side, which was amazing. And it was her first Boston. So it was an extra special day for us both.
Great. I'm sure it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when did you get the idea of doing all 6 World Marathon Majors?
So the group that I run with, you know, a lot of us, we like to travel. So we started doing a little bit of traveling and doing doing races, again, in different destinations. So just kind of started to follow the place. I ran Chicago, and then I was fortunate enough to get into the lottery for New York City. So I was able to get New York done. And then a bunch of us went over in 2013 and did Berlin. Again, as a tour group, so adding on a travel and then throwing the race in there as well. And now I'm at the point where I only have 2 left, so I'm really chasing those 2 down. London and Tokyo are left on the list.
Yeah, so before we talk about those and how you're going to get into them, because that's a tall order these days, let's talk about some of the ones you've done. Now, what was your experience like in New York?
New York is still hands down my favorite race of all time. It was just the way the city embraces the runners, just unbelievable from start to finish. The organization, the volunteers, the people, it's just unreal. And from the second you cross that start line, you know, listening to New York, New York playing, you just get goosebumps. It's just this thrill that you have. That's definitely by far my favorite race, hands down, to date.
Oh, very cool. And tell us about Berlin. What was that experience like? Because now that's in you're running in Europe. You're running in a country where English is not the first language. That's a departure from some of the other events.
Yeah, for sure. Berlin, totally different experience. Again, with the travel, you know, you have to make sure you get there in enough time that you're not going to be jet lagged before the race. And you have all those, you know, side kind of worries going on. But really, again, another unbelievable race. Like you said, you're running in the completely opposite side of the world, different country. And again, just so spectacular, the amount of people and the crowds and just the way that these cities embrace, you know, running and the sport and the runners. It's just unbelievable.
And Chicago, what did you think of that?
Yeah, Chicago, one of my favorites too. Again, such an unbelievable city. I think it's still one of my favorite cities just to visit. I try to get there once a year, to be honest. Again, a great race. The year I did it was very, very warm, so it made it challenging, the conditions for sure. But again, same thing. The city just shuts down completely, and it's shutting down for the entire weekend and really just embracing everything in running and the way it is to offer in the sport. I just love everything about Chicago.
Now, you mentioned...
I'll get back there one day.
Yeah, yeah, I love it too, and I just did it this year and for a second time, so I'd go back anytime for sure. Now, you mentioned having a child along the way, and you've managed to fit the marathon running in around your growing family, right?
I have. You know, like I said, yeah, I had my daughter in 2017, ran through my entire pregnancy, was very lucky. You know, I was able to run up right till the day before she was born, and very lucky after, recovered really quickly and was able to get back out on the road, and actually ran a marathon 6 months postpartum, which is where I requalified for Boston for 2018.
Wow.
So So that was a whole different accomplishment in its own.
Sure, it was.
One that
yeah.
Definitely had to fight really hard for, but was an unbelievable experience.
Yeah. No such thing as a pregnant pause, I guess, in your world.
That's right.
Yeah. So you ran all the way up until the day before your daughter was born.
I did. Yeah. I remember getting up that morning and I went down to the basement, hopped on my treadmill, and I did a little run walk. I think I did about 5K, and so it did happen. And then the next day my daughter was born.
Good for you. That's impressive.
Thank you.
And I'll point out again that, you know, it's different for everyone, obviously, but and you have to listen to your body. But there is, you know, people will react with alarm at that. But we've talked to experts before, and there is no reason why you shouldn't run when you're pregnant. There's no risk to your child unless you have a specific medical condition of some kind. So it's not as... you know, there are going to be people who react with alarm, but it's not as scary as it sounds.
For sure. I mean, your body, everything that you're doing before your pregnancy, your body is used to. Obviously, you have to adjust. You adjust your pace, your distance, all of those things, for sure. You just, like you said, you listen to your body. You know, some days you can run, and other days you might not feel like doing anything, and that's totally okay. It's all about listening and seeing how you feel and just going with it. Just staying active and keeping healthy for you and your baby, to be honest.
Yeah. So now you have to do London and Tokyo, two of the toughest marathons in the world to get into, but I'm sure you will do it. How are you going to go about it? What's the plan?
I'm not 100% sure yet. My goal is to try to get into London for 2020. So right now, I am actually just over eight months pregnant, so I will be having another baby come January. So the goal is after that to kind of get going again and hopefully plan for London for 2020. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to happen yet, but I've got about a year to figure it out.
Yeah, there are ways. I mean, there's the lottery, of course, which is a long shot a little bit, but then there are tour packages and charities and things like that. And, and you know, I think the closer you get to completing the six, the more you find creative ways to get it done, right? And you...
Absolutely.
Yeah, so... and then Tokyo, which obviously will be a completely different experience altogether from anything you've ever run before, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Again, the goal, hopefully, 2020 for London, and then maybe the following year for Tokyo, if that works out. And again, potential for a tour package through there or even the lottery, so... Again, I got a couple of years to figure it out, but that is my end goal, and I will get there eventually.
Yeah. And with your current pregnancy, you're still running?
I am still running, yep.
Good for you.
I've been very lucky staying active through my pregnancy. It's kept me feeling really good and been able to keep up a pretty decent routine, so it's been really good.
Well, good for you, Kelly. Congratulations on all you've done, and the best of luck as your marathon running continues after your next child, of course, and then as you continue to chase down the remaining two World Marathon Majors. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
I appreciate it, Mark. Thanks so much for having me.
That's Kelly Bowden. In the weeks ahead on iRun Radio, John Stanton of The Running Room, Canadian Olympian Reid Coolsett, and more. I hope you can be with us on next week's edition of iRun Radio. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.